The Franklin's Tale has been taken by many critics to be the final and admirable contribution to the marriage group of tales, that is, the tales of the wife, the clerk, the merchant, and the Franklin. The wife's tale insists on female dominance. The clerk's shows what can happen if male dominance becomes tyrannical. And the merchant's is a bitter tale of a marriage born in stupidity and self-indulgence, and continued in adultery and deceit. The Franklin's narrative advocates tolerance and forbearance on both sides of a marriage, a willingness to do each other's will, and to give up the hopeless notion that you can always make your will prevail. Even if you could, it would spell death to any hope of love. When mastery comes, the god of love anon beateth his wings, and farewell, he is gone. This is a direct contradiction of the viewpoint propounded by the wife of Barth in her prologue and tale, that mastery is what women desire most, and that a marriage where the woman has mastery is the best. But the attempt of one partner to master the other is not the only trouble a marriage may have to face. The protagonists of this tale are Arviragus, a knight of Brittany in France, and his wife Dorigen, have settled for mutual love and forbearance. But then the wife's truth to her marriage promise is tested by the persistence of a young squire who gets a bad case of love sickness for this married woman. The symptoms include an inability to talk to the beloved at first, and a strong tendency to write poetry and take to bed for long periods at a time. When he finally does approach the lady, she rejects his advances, but, to soften the blow, she lightly makes a rash promise to grant him his wish to make love to her, if he will remove all the rocks around the coast which threaten the safe return of her husband, who has gone to England. When the young man manages to have this done by a magician, she now has to face the truth. Which shall she keep, the troth she has pledged to her husband in marriage, or the troth she has so lightly pledged to Aurelius to break that marriage? When she reveals her dilemma to her husband on his return to Brittany from Britain, he says, "Truth is the highest thing that man may keep," and he sends her on her way to keep her rash promise to the lovesick squire. The disturbing question as to which truth takes precedence over which is not discussed. When she runs into the lover squire on her way to keep her appointment with him in the garden, he asks where she is going. She answers, "Unto the garden, as my husband bade, my truth for to hold, alas, alas." Her reply unites the major topics and contradictions of the tale: truth to one's word, rash or considered, and submission to the will of one's equal partner in marriage. On hearing her reply, the squire does the gentlemanly thing. But he now has to keep truth with the magician, to whom he has promised a sum that he cannot immediately pay. For the Franklin, the generosity and fidelity to their word by all parties is a display of gentilesse or gentleness, a topic which figured prominently in the hag's lecture in The Wife of Bath's Tale. Indeed, gentleness rivals truth for frequency of occurrence in this tale. To aristocrats, at least, gentilesse or gentleness meant the quality of being gentle, that is, born into the upper class and having the fine qualities that were supposed to go with gentle birth.